Again, this is a subject I get called on to talk about from time to time. It seemed like for several years it kind of let up. Last year I came, and you remember we talked quite a bit about some issues with lead contamination, so I felt like this was a time to give you an update. And basically, where does information come from? Well, certainly it comes from the textile mills, and this is the most important source of information. So looking at our domestic mills, some of these reports come directly to the council. I'll get pictures of contamination, usually along in an email. Some of the mills are also availing themselves to using the incident reporting tool that we have on our website that allows them to give a little bit more detailed account of the type of materials they're finding in their lint. So again, what is the profile? It's pretty much similar to what it's been the past few years. We're finding plastic films, different colors, different thicknesses that are showing up at the mills, different types of polyfibers. Again, these are plastics. It can be polypropylene, polyethylene, different cords, an arranged materials and a range of colors in those instances, and then some petroleum products. Mainly oil showing up at the textile mill and getting detected somewhere in the process. And what have we seen mills doing? Again, some of the mills are relying more and more on some pretty sophisticated equipment that will detect cotton contaminants, a range of contaminants in the lint stream before it ever gets into the processing and the mixing part of the mill, again, as it skimmed off of the surface of the bales. But even with that, it's difficult for the domestic mills to track that back to a particular grower or gin. And foreign mills, again, those communications are usually sometimes directly to staff, but more than often, we're looking at something coming back from a shipper who has a complaint from a mill, and they want to get some satisfaction. So normally, historically, those have been something we never heard of. But because of some of the incidents in some of the regions and severity of some of these claims, we've had some shippers come forward and said, you know, we need to talk about this with staff a little bit, and we need your help getting back to the growers and ginners and see what can be done to eliminate some of the contamination situation we're facing. So again, because of the foreign mills' buying practices, the way they treat bales of cotton, sometimes they're in a better position to trace that contamination back to at least a specific region, if not to a warehouse, a gin, and sometimes depend on what they're finding back to the field. In one case, I'm aware of a foreign mill that hired an inspection service to look at the bales, to see what was in the bales as they took them apart at the mill, and then to document that and share that information back with the shipper. So, again, we're getting some direct communications from some of our foreign mills, and some of this come back, you know, we've got our contamination prevention program, and we shared this through Cotton Council International, Cotton Incorporated, and other people to talk about what we do domestically. And these foreign mills, as well as the domestic mills, are more than willing to say, you know, here's this document you shared with us 3 or 4 or 5, 6 years ago. We're seeing some contamination incidents increase. What are you doing about it, and how are you going to cure our issues? We've got to be, again, considering the source of information, we're certainly going to be respectful, but we have to evaluate those claims on a case-by-case basis. And sometimes if the shippers will be work with us, often we can trace this back to something kind of out of the ordinary. For example, this last year we got some irate claims from some foreign mills, and as it turned out, this was cotton that had been picked up off the ground in the West, and naturally that kind of cotton is probably going to have a little bit more likelihood of picking up some foreign matter with it than the normal picker harvested or stripper harvested cotton. So you have to take these with a grain of salt, but nevertheless they are serious when they get to a textile mill. So what are we seeing? Well, again, from a domestic mill, in this case, they've showed us, you know, here's the finished product with some black plastic of some type in it. Again, in this case, here's a foreign mill taking the bag off of the bale of cotton, and you can see a black, pretty good-sized piece of black plastic down near the center of the bale, some more here, some more up on top. And beyond that, then here is the GINS PBI tag, identifying where this bale of cotton came from. Like I said, in the past, these incidents have been few and far between. We've seen more and more of this in 2013, and as a GINers, we hope you are aware of that. Take this seriously and go back to your growers and work diligently with them to help make sure they don't bring those plastics to the GIN for you to try to be the one that has to get them out. Typically, if a complaint comes to me and we know who the shipper is, we feel like this is a shipper's responsibility to work with those growers. Some case, it may be such that we feel like if we can go to a GIN without, you know, raising too many issues and find out what the incident if we've got the PBI number, again, they're the best source of information, but we have to be careful about doing that from the standpoint, you know, is this something out of the ordinary? And in this case, we're talking about the ground picked up cotton. Once I gave the GIN the PBI number, he said, I know exactly where that cotton came from, given that series. And it also gives him some ammunition to go back to his growers and said, look, you know, this is a practice you may not want to pursue in the future. But we try to be circumspect about that. We keep it in confidence if we do go back to a GIN. But normally, these are the type of communications that need to be between the grower, the GINer, and the shipper, and the mill. And we try to our best to stay out of those situations as much as we can. Something else that's been showing up a little bit more, again, as you can see on the right-hand side of the screen there, is a hydraulic line that's wrapped with what looks like bale packaging material trying to stop a leak. Some of our warehouses and shippers are stripping some of the bales and finding, using black lights to detect what they perceive to be oil on the surface of the bale. This has become more common and more serious, as some mills are very sensitive to this type of contamination. So it behooves all of us in the industry, particularly those working in and around the bale presses, to keep those in top-notch condition and make sure that your seals and that there's not any leaks and not any way for the cotton to be contaminated from this type of situation. The resources are pretty much the same as they've been last year. We still have a lot of information on our website that we encourage people to access. Again, we have alerts, and as well as some of the information from last year, you know, that remains up there and available to you. Again, this, you know, it's not the amount of plastic that's in a bale. It's really a very small footprint, and as remembered from last year, that it doesn't take a lot of contaminant into a bale of cotton to cause a serious problem at a mill. So that's kind of the take-home message, that we all have to be diligent, and we've all got to work together to solve this type of an issue. And again, we're still striving for zero tolerance. That doesn't change from year to year. I think you and the GIN Labs, National GINers, and others had do a quality job of getting information out to the GINs, and we certainly rely on the GINs to get that information back to the grower level, because that's where pretty much the plastic hits the road from that standpoint. So, again, that's what we're seeing. And, you know, you've got the rewards if you can do that. Certainly the satisfied domestic customer, but also those foreign mills that look to the U.S. as a source of contamination-free cotton. We want them to continue to look to us from that standpoint. Remember last year at the Beltwide, whenever we had the displays, we put up this display talking about contamination-free cotton. We still got that available. We encourage y'all to we can provide that to the gin associations or others at the meetings if they want to put up some type of display for their membership. And since the season is now over, certainly we encourage you to go back home and get with your growers, look at what's happened at your gin, and look at what's happened in the growers field, and then start planning for next year. And so that's pretty much what we learned last year. I got about a minute left, so any questions? If not, we'll move on.
Appreciate it, Dale. The this contamination issue, guys, this country's reputation of having the best cotton is about all we've got left. Is having that recognition out there, and it can go away real fast with some of these plastic problems. And generals have got to do a good job and make sure that we don't let this plastic get away from us. And hydraulic oil, or wrapping your pipes with some kind of gin wrap. I don't think that's going to work too good. Our next speaker is Galen Morgan with Texas A&M Extension Service. Galen, this presentation is an update on the development of an industry-wide leaf hairiness index. I think this is something that is long overdue. This may help explain what Robbie's problem was with why we're getting so much leaf. This is something I think is long overdue to try to develop some kind of protocol for this situation. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.